Hi, I'm Jade from WMPH News, and I want to bring you some behind-the-scenes information about kidnappings and their patterns and how they're investigated. When I was first asked to think about issues that are important to the community, I thought about Amber Alerts and the abductions that causes the Amber Alerts to be sent out in the media and social media. I wanted to know more about people taking other people. What kind of person does that kind of thing and why? Dr. Richard Card is a director of Wilmington University's Crime Justice Institution. He helps us get clear about the meanings of different words.
Well, first of all, there's a big difference between abductions and kidnappings. People have a tendency to place both in the same category, and they're not. When you kidnap someone, it's usually you're taking a person by force, threat, or deceit, and you intend to cause harm to that person or detain them against their will. If a person is abducted, it's usually criminal in nature, and a person is usually taken based upon the offender's persuasion or by defrauding the person or by open force or violence.
According to Wilmington's private detective Tom Monahan, there is a pattern who commits these offenses.
Child kidnappings. Most of them are actually parental kidnappings, where the non-custodial parent, who has been deemed by the court not to be a fit parent, takes the child and attempts to flee the jurisdiction.
Richard Carr contracts different types of kidnapped victims.
Then you have acquaintance kidnapping, which involves a high percentage of juvenile individuals, and the largest percentage of those are also female victims. Then you have stranger kidnappings, which females are victimized more than males, and they primarily occur at outdoor locations, and it victimizes both teenagers and school-aged children. And a lot of times in stranger kidnapping, that's when you have sexual assaults that are associated with that type of offense. About one child out of every 10,000 that are reported missing is not found alive. 20% of the children reported to the National Center for the Missing and Exploited Children in non-family abductions were not found alive in 2010. About 80% of the abductions by strangers, the first contact between the child and the abductor occurs very, very close to where the child lives. A lot of potential abductors are going to grab their victims off the street or try and lure them into their vehicles. Approximately 75% of those victims are usually girls.
This shows kidnapping can happen in many different situations. Tom Monahan says that the police officers also have a system called the Uniform Crime Reports, where they go around their patrol areas and see if something is out of place, and if so, they report it to their district. He also says that there is a standard procedure of how a missing person report gets processed.
When someone's reported missing, you know, they're typically reported, they'll get the 911 call. Goes to the communication center, whatever police agency's handling it. Depending on the severity of the case, so at least a uniform officer is typically dispatched to take the report. That officer will make a determination based on the circumstances whether a follow-up is needed, and detectives should be called as well.
Monahan says that reports are categorized one of two ways.
It's an endangered missing person or a non-endangered missing person. You know, in the first scenario I described, that's like a non-endangered, you know, the person's basically just run away. You don't have any reason to believe that they're in harm. Where the second one is, you know, it's a small juvenile that's disappeared who obviously can't make a decision for themselves, or you have an adult who in some way is impaired, either mentally or physically, that's more of an urgent matter.
Another type of alert for missing people is the Amber Alert for children. Here's Richard Carr.
The primary thing is the child must be at risk of serious injury or death, and there has to be enough descriptive information of the child, the offender, the offender's vehicle, to be able to issue the alert, and it has to be under 18 years of age.
Carr says these alerts are important because finding the children quickly increases their chances of being found.
It's well known that the longer the time period is that a child is abducted and not found, the less of a chance of finding the child or the victim alive. So that's really concerning, and that's where the Amber Alert really comes from.
Do investigators ever decide to close a case? Here's Tom Monahan.
What they'll do is they'll suspend it, but they don't close it. In other words, it's suspended pending further leads. It's always done by a team, but it's not actually closed out. It's just there's no active leads to follow up, and you basically at that point they're just waiting for something else to break. So if, say, 2 years after it's suspended, somebody calls in and says, hey, I just saw this missing child, you know, the case is immediately reactivated.
This public affairs show is about how any person of any age can put on a facade or a mask of being a true friend of a family friend to be an exact threat towards you and your safety. This also shows that you can live your life with a little less worrying since you know the tips and aspects of how the situation may occur. I am Jade from WMPH News.
And I'm Sophia Schmidt, the youth media producer at Mount Pleasant from Delaware Public Media. Jade also interviewed local advocate Sharia Schotz, who works to raise awareness about safety and abuse. Schotz says one technique parents can use to keep their children safe is establishing what she calls code words.
And this is teaching your children a specific word to say that only you and your child knows. It might be green tomatoes. It might be yellow grapes. It might be anything. So you tell them that code word. So if that person comes to get them and they're not familiar with that person, but he say, oh, well, your mommy sent me, and say, what's the code word?
Schotz says people can also protect themselves when they feel they're being followed by looking the stalker in the eyes.
They fear being known, being found out. So that's why you look them right in their face and let them know, oh, I know who you are. I can tell, and look for a distinguishing mark.
This has been a public affairs report by WMPH staffer Jade, and I'm Sophia Schmidt from Delaware Public Media.